You're listening to a podcast from 702.
All eyes have been at the DRC. Yesterday, they went to cast their ballot, their votes. Lots of ballot polls were open yesterday, and there were issues. There were just lots of issues. There obviously was raining yesterday, heavy rainpour, and people didn't come out in their numbers as expected initially. But let's get the very latest in that story with Crystal Orderson, who has been looking at that story very carefully. A very good morning to you, Crystal. Where are we sitting now at the DRC?
Good morning. Firstly, it was a largely peaceful vote, and I think that was the main anxiety of Southern African leaders, including our own President Cyril Ramaphosa. It went largely peaceful, but as you pointed out, it was messy. Firstly, the rain in the capital, Kinshasa, caused, of course, just absolute chaos. And then, of course, the contentious electronic voting machines. There were supposed to be more than 105,000 working electronic voting stations. Unfortunately, there was absolute chaos. In fact, the churches had quite a large amount of local monitors, about 40,000 across the country, and they said, at a large amount of voting stations, these voting machines were simply not working. And then we also had people's names were missing from the voting list, and people could simply not get their names. And of course, this caused anger on the streets. But despite that, people were so just absolutely, they wanted to vote. It's taken many years for them to get here. They simply, despite the logistical challenges, they simply wanted to stand in those long queues and vote. So we've, of course, had late voting in different parts of the country. And then in some places, immediately after those voting stations closed, people started counting. And I think this is now where the critical issue will lay. But also just on the ground, of course, we know that three areas did not vote. Mm. So that disenfranchised about 1.3 million voters. And they staged mock voting stations. They are only going to vote in March. And this is the irony. Mm. We've been told that the election results will be announced on January 15th. And this is despite that more than 1 million people will only be able to vote in March.
Crystal, this is it's a big story. We've been following it for a long time. We know that these elections have been delayed since 2016. And finally, we got here. And as you said, three regions were not now allowed to vote. There was a lot of questions around this, what you call electronic system, which was being contested many times, where President Kabila says, in fact, everybody is calling it electronic. One, why is it that you think that the Congolese cannot manage a system like this? But number two, he says, in fact, it's not quite an electronic system. It's just slightly more sophisticated than a ballot. I mean, were still there issues? Were there still issues around that method of voting yesterday?
Yes, in fact, one of the main opposition candidates, Felix Tshisekedi, he still questioned it, and he said, look, it was simply a big mess, and they are asking themselves if this is not organized chaos. Now, I think there's a broader context. In Africa, for instance, these machines have only been used in Namibia, and we do know that Namibia has a population, a sizable population. In DRC, we're looking at firstly a country the size of Western Europe.
80 million,
infrastructure, yes, and it had 46 million registered voters. Now, this is a huge, a huge logistical challenge, I think, for any country, even for South Africa, with all its infrastructure and logistics. We've stuck to the very basics of ballot paper. And apart from that, we also have a huge amount, and this is what voters said yesterday. Of course, some of them pointed out that it wasn't as complicated. Others pointed out that the country with a lot of people that cannot read or write or have never seen a computer, it becomes complicated. So I don't think it's undermining a country's right to want to use the system. I think simply given its infrastructure, given its distances, and given the challenges in the run-up to election in Kinshasa, which represents a sizable amount of the voting population, 8,000 machines were burned, and this left the capital with very few machines. And we saw that yesterday, long queues, some voting stations didn't open until very late. Mm. And these are the logistical challenges that one would hope for a country that has challenged and with difficult for voters to actually cast their ballot, one would have hoped that they could have perhaps chosen a more simplistic manner to ensure that the millions, the 46 million, or at least a sizable population of that 46 million will be able to vote.
Crystal, I mean, we spoke earlier about the fact that there were regions that were not allowed to vote. Apparently, they'll be allowed to vote a little bit later on, and the reasons thereof were because there is Ebola being one of the reasons, and then another one, political violence is being cited, and the presidency always maintains the fact that this is because of what he calls, not internal, but rather outside forces, he calls them. Terrorist groups, in fact, he calls them. IDF is what he's referring to. When you listen to the people on the ground, some were saying, well, you know, yes, we may have Ebola, but Ebola is not the problem. He's a bigger problem to us than Ebola. Is there still distrust amongst the people in those regions about why they were not allowed to vote?
Absolutely. I mean, we saw even over the weekend, people were quite angry because we have to understand that Ebola has been, it's been the epicenter of Ebola since August. We've had on the ground local health officials, the World Health Organization, and up until, it's always made, health officials have always made it clear that despite the Ebola challenges, they've been able to contain it and the vote can go ahead. That's what they've always maintained. But we also do know that the militia forces have been operating there as well for years. And then it was the sudden announcement that the election was going to be postponed in those three regions, which, of course, also has a huge support base for the opposition. And I think Congolese, I think society are just questioning everything that Kabila does because they simply feel that the government, they know certain things, they leave it until the last minute simply to disenfranchise them, to leave them out. And that's how people are feeling. They're simply feeling that we knew about Ebola, we knew about the militia, why on the last minute? And it's only after they had announced that postponement from the 23rd to yesterday, last week only, that the Electoral Commission said we're not going to have election in these three areas and it's because of Ebola and the militia. And so people on the ground simply feel it's this last-minute.com situation and it's simply undermining their right to vote.
Crystal, can we talk about the Electoral Commission and its independence? There's many questions around that and one is that the head of the Electoral Commission is, in fact, somebody who represents civil society. So why is it that there is the sense that they're not to be trusted even though there are the composite of it is multi-party and also civil society?
I think by its very nature, electoral commission in Congo was going to be questioned and their legitimacy questioned simply because the country has never had a peaceful transfer since colonialization from Belgium. So I think that the society by its very nature is going to question whatever. But I do think, unfortunately, we have to point out that the electoral commission have not conducted themselves in the most appropriate manner for the Congolese who are facing them. I mean, firstly, this fire that, firstly, the lead up to the selection of the electronic voting machines, where they were going to get it from. It was imported from South Korea. Ballot papers were also had to be flown in. So there were just all these logistical challenges. Of course, Congo also refused any outside assistance from the UN or any other body, which I think for a country that has its own history, it felt that, look, we can do it. However, if we look at the size of Congo and we look at the real on-the-ground logistical challenge of infrastructure, of conflict, that, I don't think it should be too bad to ask for help. Some people might question it. And I think the Electoral Commission, of course, with this huge fire in Kinshasa, in Congolese, the diaspora here, for instance, pointed out to me, did we ever see one picture of the burning of any of the destruction of these 8,000 electronic voting machines? So there was no, people were told about it, but, on the ground, people felt they didn't see the evidence that 8,000 machines had actually burned down. And then on the last minute, the opposition were called in, and only then the story leaked out that the election was going to be postponed by 1 week. So I think, unfortunately, the conduct of the Electoral Commission to the run-up of this election and yesterday have not given the people of Congo faith that they will conduct a free and fair poll. Ironically, yesterday, as President Joseph Kabila voted, he said, "Can you see? It is very clear that these elections are free and fair."
Yes, yes.
Of course, some of the voters don't think that have those same sentiments.
Yeah. So we now know that whatever happens, he will not be the president he will not be declared president when that announcement comes through. We know that. But he has handpicked a person who he would feel would take over from him, who's obviously contesting the elections like everybody else. But it's interesting to me that the person that he's handpicked has been sanctioned by the UN for human rights atrocities. How do people feel about that in the particular individual? And I mean, of course, the two main opposition parties, as we know, were refused to take part. The court rules that they can't take part in the elections. We now have other leaders coming through, but it's a big and it's a largely contested environment. I mean, 600 political parties. There are one or two that stands out, but what are the chances that we're going to see an opposition leadership coming forward?
Yes, so I think, as you say, 21 presidential candidates, quite a crowded field. Unfortunately, the opposition did not unite. They initially had chosen Martin Fayulu, former ExxonMobil oil executive, as the one person to represent that voice, also, of course, representing those two exiled leaders. And then Felix Tshisekedi, whose father was the father of the opposition, he said, "No, can do. I want to stand on my own." So those are our two main opposition candidates. Of course, Mr. Kabila chose Mr. Shadri, the interior minister, quite hardline, very close to Kabila as the candidate. In fact, they voted together yesterday in one of the posh suburbs of Kinshasa. So, of course, already, the on the ground, there's just already, people feeling, Mr. Kabila will actually be ruling from the sidelines. Mr. Shadu is just there in name. And so there's already that anger. Again, on social media, yesterday, and I saw the pictures, magazines, already a local magazine, already with a front cover, congratulating Mr. Shadu, winning 57% of the vote.
Wow.
And apparently it was found at an embassy. We haven't been able to verify it, but I've seen these magazines with the cover of Mr. Shadri and winning that amount of votes. So it's those issues that for the Congolese diaspora in South Africa, in Belgium, that simply just creates, anger. Mm-hmm. Because they say if this election, if it's supposedly free and fair, Martin Fayulu stands a very good chance of winning. And in fact, one of the few credible electoral polls that were done showed that Mr. Fayulu could win, if it's free and fair, 47% of the vote, followed by Felix Tshisekedi with 24%, and of course, Mr. Shadri only following the 19% of the vote. And I think people take this very seriously. If we think yesterday at the Vatican, Pope Francis prayed for the Congolese people, because 40% of the country is Catholic. So everybody is anxious to ensure that, the vote, of course, about counting at least brings some legitimacy, because if not, I think people just fear the worst. Given that the pre-election period, we saw police, shooting live ammunition, several people died. In fact, yesterday, a police official had beat a voter to death, and then similarly, he was then beaten. So there were some incidents, violent incidents police reacting again with live ammunition. And I think that is the concern, is that, these candidates, and of course Kabila's chosen successor, is not seen as legitimate. The opposition leader is. If that is not the case, and if there's any questions around the vote counting, and of course the opposition have already raised serious concern about yesterday's election, I think there's real concern that this could brew into something quite complicated.
Really worrying there. We'll keep an eye on that story. Crystal Alderson, Southern African editor of Africa Report, thank you very much for that.